Cleopatra?
Simon Moon asked, 23 years later.
Tell him about Cleopatra.
It was a sunny afternoon in October, and the drapes in the living room of the apartment on the 17th floor of 2323 Lakeshore Drive were pulled back to reveal a corner window view of Chicago's Loop skyscrapers and the white cap dotted blue surface of Lake Michigan. Joe sprawled in a chair facing the lake. Simon and Padre Pederastia were on a couch under an enormous painting titled Cleopatra. She looked a good deal like Stella Maris and was holding an asp to her bosom. The eye and pyramid symbol appeared several times in the hieroglyphs on the tomb wall behind her. Sitting in an armchair opposite the painting was a slender man with sharp, dark features, shoulder-length chestnut hair, a forked brown beard, and green eyes.
Cleopatra,
said the man,
was an instant study. Would have made her Polly mother of the great globe itself if she'd lived. She damn near brought down the Roman Empire, and she did shorten its life by centuries. She forced Octavius to bring so much aneuristic power to bear that the Empire went prematurely into the state of bureaucracy.
What do I call you?
Said Joe.
Lucifer? Satan?
Call me Malaclips the Elder,
said the fork-bearded man with a smile that seemed to beam through endless shifting veils of warm self-regard.
I don't get it,
said Joe.
The first time I saw you, we were all terrified out of our minds. Though when you finally showed up looking like Billy Graham, I didn't know whether to laugh or go catto. But I know I was scared.
Padre Pederastia laughed.
You were so terrified, my son, that you were trying to climb right inside our little redhead's big red bird's nest. You were so frightened that that hefty cock of yours...
He licked his lips.
...was squirting juice all over the carpet. Oh, you were terrified, all right. Oh, my, yes.
Well, I wasn't so scared just at that moment you mentioned,
said Joe with a smile.
But a little later, when our friend here was about to appear. You were terrified yourself, Padre Pederastia. You kept hollering, "Come not in that form! Come not in that form!" Now we're all sitting around the living room behaving like old chums, and this being here is reminiscing about the good old days with Cleopatra.
They were terrible days,
said Malaclips.
Very cruel days, very sad days. Constant wars, tortures, mass murders, crucifixions. Bad times.
I believe you. And what's worse, I can understand what it means if I believe you. And I can live knowing that you exist. And even sit down in this living room and smoke a cigarette with you.
Two lit cigarettes appeared between Malaclips's fingers. He passed one to Joe. Joe drew on it. It tasted sweet, with just a hint of marijuana.
That's a corny trick,
said Joe.
Just so you don't lose your old associations to me too quickly,
said Malaclips.
Too quick to understand, too soon to misunderstand.
Padre Pederastia said,
the night of that black mass, I simply had worked myself up to the point where I totally believed. That's what magic is, after all. The people will hear that night relate to left-hand magic, to the Satan myth, to the Faust legend. It's a quick way to get them involved. It worked with you at the time, but we brought you along fast because we want more help from you. So now you don't need the trappings.
You don't have to be a Satanist to love Malaclips,
said Malaclips.
In fact, it's better if you're not,
said Simon.
Satanists are creeps. They skin dogs alive and shit like that.
Because most Satanists are Christians,
said Joe.
Which is a very masochistic religion.
Now just a minute,
said Padre Pederastia with some asperity.
He's right, Pederastia,
said Malaclips.
Nobody knows that better than you, or me for that matter.
Did you ever meet Jesus?
Joe asked, awed in spite of his skepticism. Malaclips smiled.
I was Jesus.
Padre Pederastia flapped his hands and bounced up and down in his chair.
You're telling too much.
For me, trust is total or non-existent,
said Malaclips.
I perceive that I can trust Joe. I wasn't the original Jesus Joe, the one they crucified. But this happened a few centuries after I experienced transcendental illumination at Milos. I was passing through Judea in the persona of a Greek merchant when they crucified Jesus. I met some of his followers the day he died, and I talked with them. If you think Christianity is a bloody religion as it is, This is nothing to what it would have been if Jesus hadn't seemed to come back. If the 17 original apostles, 5 of them have been purged from the records, had been left on their own, they would have passed from horror and terror at Jesus' death to vindictive fury. It would have been as if Islam had come 7 centuries earlier. Instead of slowly taking over the Roman Empire and preserving much of the Greco-Roman world intact, it would have swept and mobilized the East, destroyed most of Western civilization, and replaced it with a theocracy more oppressive than pharaonic Egypt. I stopped that with a few magic tricks. Appearing in the persona of the resurrected Jesus, I taught there was no need for hatred and vengeance after my death. I even tried to get them to realize that life is a game by teaching them bingo. To this day, nobody understands, and critics call it part of the commercialism of the church. The sacred tarot wheel, the moving mandala. So despite my influence, Christianity focused obsessively on the crucifixion of Jesus, which is really irrelevant to what he taught while he was alive, and remained a kind of death worship. When Paul went to Athens and made the link-up with the Illuminati, who were using Plato's academy as a front, the ideology of Plato combined with the mythology of Christ to deliver the knockout blow to pagan humanism and lay the foundations for the modern world of superstates. After that, I changed my appearance again and took the name of Simon Magus, and had some success spreading ideas contradictory to Christianity.
You can change your appearance at will, then,
said Joe.
Oh, sure thing. I'm just as quick with a thought projection as anybody.
He pushed his pinky thoughtfully into his left nostril and worked it around. Joe stiffened. He didn't care to watch people picking their noses in public. He looked resolutely over Malaclipse's left shoulder.
Now that you know as much as you do about us, Joe, it's time you started working with us. Chicago, as you know, is the Illuminati nerve center in this hemisphere. So we'll use this town to test Alm, a new drug with astonishing properties, if Elf's technicians are correct. It's supposed to turn neophobes into neophiles.
Simon slapped his forehead and shouted,
Wow, man.
And started laughing. Pederastia gasped and whistled.
You look blank, Joe,
said Malaclipse.
Has no one explained to you that the human race is divided into 2 distinct genotypes? Neophobes, who reject new ideas and accept only what they have known all their lives, and neophiles, who love new things, change, invention, innovation. For the first 4 million years of man's history, all humans were neophobes, which is why civilization did not develop. Animals are all neophobes. Only mutation can change them. Instinct is simply the natural behavior of a neophobe. The neophile mutation appeared about 100,000 years ago and speeded up 30,000 years ago. However, there has never been more than a handful of neophiles anywhere on the planet. The Illuminati themselves sprang up from one of the oldest neophile-neophobe conflicts on record.
I take it the Illuminati were trying to hold back progress,
said Joe.
Is that their general aim?
You're still thinking like a liberal,
said Simon.
Nobody gives a fuck for progress.
Right,
said Malaclipse.
They were the innovators in that instance. All the Illuminati were and are neophiles. Even today, they see their work as directed toward progress. They want to become like gods. It's possible for humans, given the right methods, to translate themselves into sentient latticework of pure energy that will be more or less permanent. The process is called transcendental illumination, to distinguish it from the acquisition of insight into the true nature of man and the universe, which is ordinary illumination. I've gone through transcendental illumination and am a being composed altogether of energy, as you may have guessed. However, prior to becoming energy fields, men often fall victim to hubris. Their actions cause pain to others and make them insensitive, uncreative, and irrational. Mass human sacrifice is the most reliable method of achieving transcendental illumination. Human sacrifice can, of course, be masked as other things, such as war, famine, and plague. The vision of the four horsemen vouchsafed to St. John is actually a vision of mass transcendental illumination.
How did you achieve it?
Joe asked.
I was present at the massacre of the male inhabitants of the city of Melos by the Athenians in 416 BC. Have you read Thucydides?
A long time ago.
Well, Thucydides had it wrong. He presented it as an out-and-out atrocity, but there were extenuating circumstances. The Melians had been stabbing Athenian soldiers in the back, poisoning them, filling them full of arrows from ambush. Some of them were working for the Spartans, and some were on the side of Athens, but the Athenians didn't know which ones they could trust. They didn't want to do any unnecessary killing, but they did want to get back to Athens alive. So they rounded up all the Melian men one day and hacked them to pieces in the town square. The women and children were sold into slavery.
What did you do?
Said Joe.
Were you there with the Athenians?
Yes, but I didn't do any killing. I was a chaplain, of the Eresian denomination, of course. But I was prepared to perform services to Hermes, Dionysus, Heracles, Aphrodite, Athena, Hera, and some of the other Olympians. I almost went mad with horror. I didn't understand that Pangenitor is panphage. I was praying to Eris to deliver me or deliver the Melians or do something, and she answered me.
Hail! She what done it all!
Said Simon.
I almost believe you,
said Joe.
But every once in a while the suspicion creeps in that you're simply doing a 2,000-year-old man routine, and the butt of the joke is me.
Malaclips stood up with a little smile.
Come here, Joe.
What for?
Just come here.
Malaclips held his hands away from his sides, palms turned toward Joe appealingly. Joe walked over and stood before him.
Put your hand into my side,
said Malaclips.
Oh, come on,
said Joe. Pederastius snickered. Malaclips just looked at him with a gentle, encouraging smile, so he reached out to touch Malaclips' shirt. His hands still felt nothing. He closed his eyes to verify that. There was no sensation whatever, thin air. Eyes still shut, he moved his hand forward. He opened his eyes, and when he saw his arm sunk into Malaclips' body up to the elbow, he almost barfed his cookies. He drew back.
It can't be a movie. I'd be almost willing to say a moving holograph, but the illusion is too perfect. You're looking right at me. To my eyes, you're unquestionably there.
Try a few karate chops,
said Malaclips. Joe obliged, swinging his hand like a scythe through Malaclips's waist, chest, and head. For a finale, Joe brought his hand straight down through the top of the being's head.
I suspend judgment. Maybe you are what you say you are, but it's pretty hard to take. Can you feel anything?
I can create temporary sensory organs for myself whenever I want to. I can enjoy just about anything a human enjoys or experiences. But my primary mode of perception is a very advanced form of what you would call intuition. Intuition is a kind of sensitivity in the mind to events and processes. What I have is a highly developed intuitional receptor, which is completely controllable.
Joe went back and sat down, shaking his head.
You certainly are in an enviable position.
Like I said, it's the real reason for human sacrifice,
said Malaclips. He too sat down, and Joe noticed that the soft upholstery of his chair didn't sink beneath his weight. He seemed to rest on the surface of the cushions.
Any sudden or violent death releases a burst of consciousness energy, which can be controlled and channeled as any explosive energy can be. The Illuminati would all like to become as gods. That has been their ambition for longer than I care to say.
Which means they have to perpetrate mass murder,
said Joe, thinking of nuclear weapons, gas chambers, chemical biological warfare. Malaclips nodded.
Now, I don't disapprove of that on moral grounds, since morals are purely illusory. I do have a personal distaste for that sort of thing. Although when you've lived as long as I have, you have lost so many friends and lovers that it is impossible not to take the deaths of humans as a matter of course. So it goes. And, since I achieved my own immortality and non-materiality as the result of a mass murder, it would be hypocritical of me to condemn the Illuminati. For that matter, I don't condemn hypocrisy, though it is also personally distasteful to me. But I do say that the method of the Illuminati is stupid and wasteful, since everybody is already everything. So, why fuck around with things? It is absurd to try to be something else when there is nothing else.
That kind of statement is simply beyond my comprehension,
said Joe.
I don't know. Maybe it's my engineering training. But even after my own partial illumination in San Francisco with Dr. Iggy, this kind of talk doesn't make any more sense than Christian Science to me.
Soon you'll understand more,
said Malaclips,
about the history of man, about some of the esoteric knowledge that has been lying around for tens of thousands of years. Eventually, you'll know all that's worth knowing about absolutely everything.